Hello, and welcome to Love at First Screening's special series, Rom-Com Road Trip, where we take you on a winding journey to find the best love and laughter as we create a rom-com plot of our own.
So grab your favorite snacks.
Ooh, like caramel popcorn.
Or an Asiago bagel with schmear.
Ugh, God, after my own heart. Either way, hurry up. We got a few friends to grab.
I call shotgun. You drive.
Buckle up. Still not quite there. Well, we're not going to get there by the time that the strikes finish and we conclude this special series.
As of recording this, we're one strike down.
Yeah.
The WGA and the AMPTP have come to an agreement and their strike has ended. They've resumed work. Of course, they're still standing in solidarity with SAG-AFTRA, which is awesome because solidarity is how you make shit happen.
Exactly. Yeah, I've actually stopped manufacturing car parts to stand in solidarity with the auto workers union as well as they continue their strike. So,
yeah. I've never actually manufactured car parts, so.
Oh, me either. I just basically decided I wasn't going to start, I guess is the better way to play that.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, just look at us go. We're out here, neither of us are members of unions, but if we were, we'd be like, wow, our unions are doing great. So Chelsea, have you read anything worth reading recently?
I spent a number of hours the other night surfing on my library's virtual catalog of ebooks. Specifically, I was looking for, you know, some queer indie books that maybe I've never heard of. And I came across this one that's a sapphic retelling of Sherlock Holmes.
Nice.
It looks like this book's only just come out, but it looks like it's supposed to be part of a series because it was called like A Study in, and then instead of it being like scarlet or whatever the actual Sherlock Holmes, it was like some other kind of pink color or red color. And then I think it was called The Women of Baker Street.
Hmm.
Or some, I don't know. I don't know why, because look, mysteries aren't my thing. And I don't even really care about Sherlock Holmes. So I don't know why this, I think what it is I love a retelling and I am really tickled when people are like, what if it was this, but we made it gay? Like, that's my bread and butter. So I don't even have to like the original thing, but if you just went out of your way to just be like, what if everyone was gay? I would read or watch it probably. I've read queer retellings of Peter Pan, queer retellings of Snow White, queer retellings of, I'm sure, other things. I was hoping if I started, I would be able to finish that sentence very confidently with a, what is this queer retelling? Anyway, my point is everything's better if it's gay. So I support the queering of all things. Thank you and good night.
Beverly Query over here.
Yeah. But I have been rereading in anticipation of our upcoming special bonus episode. I have been rereading Boyfriend Material by Alexis Hall. And I am reading it on my iPad and I'm highlighting every time he mentions what the name of the group chat is, because that's just so silly and funny. And also because my friends and I, our group chat hasn't changed since last year when we went to Salem and we changed it from Nasty Women, that had been the group chat, and now it's Spooky Women because we went to Salem all together. But it hasn't changed in a year. We're still Spooky Women. It's all this. Right before October 2022 to now, it has stayed Spooky Women. So, but I love that their group chat constantly changes in the book. It's always really cute and cheeky.
We've really got to up our game when it comes to names of group chats. Although I will say that there's one group chat that I'm actually in with you that I never want the name to change. Because it is three people who all have M names plus Chelsea, and it is with Chelsea. And I told someone that this past weekend, and they were like, that is the best group chat name I've ever heard in my entire life. And I was like, I know. So
thank you. I take full credit for that. So you're welcome.
You should. You should take full credit. Chelsea came up with it, and it's the smartest thing that anyone's ever come up with.
What you say?
I know. It's like, how much of that song can we insert here before we get copyrighted?
Yeah.
Those laws are actually really blurry, folks. So if anyone is a lawyer and wants to tell me.
Well, according to your Instagram, I think you have been reading some interesting things. I have seen you posting on your stories. So please, what should I be reading?
I just finished an Indigenous dark anthology or dark fiction anthology called Never Whistle at Night. And it's freaking amazing. Because it's not, one, I liked that they didn't call it horror, because I think it would have set my expectations as a reader on sort of a different mindset than what it ended up being. And what it ended up being was incredible. But I think that dark fiction is incredibly accurate for what it was. And then beyond that, I've actually kind of been in a bit of a reading dry spell. And whenever that happens, I just reread Anything and Everything by Abby Jimenez. So if you really like rom-com books, Abby Jimenez is out here doing the work. And she posts videos of her dogs on the internet, which is all anyone ever wants. So
yeah. I looked up this anthology, and oh my gosh, like, Rebecca Roanhorse, love her. Darcy Little Badger, Cherie Demoline, I don't know if I'm saying that correctly. Tommy Orange? I mean, come off it. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is, okay, I'm going to have to read this.
And I will say, for anyone who likes to read with their ears, the performances, because each story has, you know, a different narrator. The narrators do multiple stories throughout it, but, you know, kind of changes as you go on. And Kenitia Horn, she plays Tanis in Letterkenny. She reads several of them. And I mean, I don't know what it is, but there was just something like really
I think haunting. You mean she plays a character in episode 7 of this. Oh my god, it's been so long that like I'm like, it was the witch one, but who the it frick was she? I don't remember. I think her name was Vivian. No, Vivian was the redhead. So yeah, I don't remember what the. I think Laura maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it was Laura.
You know what? I can't decide if we should cut this all off. It's very entertaining. I wrote that rom-com too, and I can't remember a damn thing.
No, the best part about it is at the time that we're recording this, the last one that we put out was the Grumpy Sunshine Secret Oil Barons episode with the coffee shop romance, like the bookstore coffee shop romance. And we recorded that. I edited it. And as I was editing it, I was like, I don't remember any of this. So either I just exited my body or it was a really forgettable story. So who knows? But yeah, I can't keep straight anything that we do. It's because we have too many good ideas. Yeah.
Nothing should be straight. We went in two different directions with that. I was just going back to my thing that everything could be gayer.
I really think that your roller derby name should be Beverly Queer-y instead of I think that'd be so good.
I love that. That's really good. It's it's literary and gay.
Exactly. Oh my god. Okay, now I know what I have to get you for Christmas. I have to get you like a fake jersey made that just says Beverly Queer-y on the back of it. Okay, perfect. I have to make this happen now. So, Chelsea, speaking of gay, unfortunately, the story I have written for you is not.
That's the most disappointing thing, because when you just said, speaking of gay, my heart went a flutter thinking, oh my gosh, are you going to give me two gay romances back to back? And no. Then you're like, this one's not. And then my just hopes and dreams were crushed. Like, my baseline is Madison's probably doing that heterosexual thing, you know? Yeah. But wow, that, you're a tease. That was really mean.
That's what all the boys say. But never the girls, because I don't talk to them, because women scare me. They're too pretty and I hate it. Okay, anyway. That's on being non-practicing.
Oh. I won't name names, but there are folks out there that are determined for you to engage in romance with a woman.
Honestly,
in fact, I might say they're plotting.
I'll allow it. You know what? I'll take options. This is fine. I need our leading lady's name. It can start with a. Ooh, I'm looking at my bookshelf.
I'm just laughing because our approach to how we prepare for these are very, very different. Because, like, when I write it and I, like, pick a letter and then I just refer to the person as that first letter throughout all of my notes. But you come on and you're like, I haven't even thought of any letters ever.
No, I have never learned a letter.
What's an alphabet?
Don't know her. Wouldn't recognize the alphabet if it was hitting me over the face. But let's go with an A.
Aslan.
Ooh, perfect. Okay, and then for our leading male, let's go with, I'm trying to think of ones that we haven't used because I feel like I always pick the same letters. So let's go with a T.
Thomas.
We are going to set our story in sort of like, I'm going to call it bustling suburbia, where it's probably like 15 minutes from the perimeter of a major city. So it still has a bit more hustle and bustle. Mm-hmm. So wherever you think that should be. There we meet Aslan. Aslan is newly 56 years old and is realizing that she has not known herself for the past probably 30 years. Her husband died about 8 months ago from pancreatic cancer, and her two grown daughters both live out of state in separate states. So she has way too much time and has no idea what to do with it. Her solution, after talking to her childhood best friend that lives across the country from her, is that she's going to sell her house, retire from her teaching job, and move out of state to a co-op living community that is kind of, it's not like off the grid in that it feels like a cult. It's just not what she's been used to. It's on like 100 acres of land that they use for community gardening. And they, you know, it's a very communal living style. Because she's like, I am way too fucking young to go live at a senior center, but I realize that I need community because I don't even know what I enjoy doing. My whole life for the past 30 years has been marriage and kids and work. And none of that left time for hobbies or a personal understanding of self. So she kind of picks this place at random because her friend told her, like, oh, there's actually a co-op community that's like 50 miles from where I live. And she's like, well, you know, might as well do it. She doesn't really look at like the demographic of the community or anything like that. And when she gets there, she realizes that most of these people are in their like late 20s to early 30s. And a lot of them are people who are in like an interesting transition point like she is. A lot of them are like, you know, trying to escape corporate work life and trying to kind of rebalance themselves. Some of them are like trying to start families and are looking for a community to raise their kids in. So she is the oldest person there. The other person who's even close to her age is the president of the board that helps run the community and organize everything. And that is where we meet Thomas. And he's like 47 years old. So first and foremost, she feels completely out of place. And she's like, what am I going to do? And in talking to her daughter on the phone, she's like, well, Mom, I mean, this is the perfect time for your eat, pray, love moment. And she's like, yeah, but I don't really have eat, pray, love money. So it'll be more like, snack, garden, fuck. But she's not quite sure about that last one either. So because again, she's 8 years older than the oldest person there. And she finds herself once again kind of being drawn into isolation and solitude. Like what she thought was going to be an amazing community, she's so nervous about trying to figure out how to fit in with the people there that she kind of decides that she doesn't want to try. And that's where we see Thomas enter into the picture more fully. So Thomas is the president of this communal living place. I keep wanting to call it a commune because I guess that's technically what it is, but that gives like culty kind of vibes for a lot of people. So I digress. Anyway, Thomas also experienced sort of a loss of his own. Not that his ex-wife is dead, but she decided that she wasn't happy in the relationship. And just she wanted something different. He had kind of made the community his whole life. And again, this sounds like a cult. And now I'm wondering if I wrote a cult story. Moving on from that, she wanted a more, she wanted a more urban lifestyle. And he wasn't willing to move because he's so involved in this community and wants to make sure that it's successful for everyone who lives there, because he knows that a lot of people who come there are sort of searching for something. This isn't necessarily a place that people stay at for, you know, a decade, 15 years. You know, usually the people who move in there, they'll live there for about 4, 5, 6 years, and then they'll kind of move back into a faster paced lifestyle. And that's really what his ex was wanting. So they amicably split, and he decides that to help him get out of his funk about his split with his wife, he's going to make he's going to make ass his mission.
You know what? Everybody's got their kinks, so. But Madison, do you know what my kink is for this? Sorry, I was trying to make a transition into our wild card. I need you to include one of our main characters being submerged in water. Perhaps they fall into a lake. Perhaps the cult leader baptizes them. Up to you.
It's not a cult. Maybe it is. I don't know. The more I talk about it, I'm like, shit, did I write a cult? I've always wanted to lead one. I think it would be fun. If we started a cult, what would like our uniforms be?
I think instead of going for like the all white linen, I think we should have like various jewel tone linen. Mm. I think that could be really fun. And maybe we also dyed them ourselves somehow.
Oh, nice. With like natural dyes and stuff like that.
Yeah. Oh, can you like achieve a jewel tone with a natural dye?
I think you can probably with beetroot powder. Okay. I don't know. I'll give it a shot. That, because we can't start our cult until we know that. So
we need the outfits for the tax write-offs.
Exactly. I'm not going into this unprepared, is what I'm trying to say.
If Abba taught me anything, it's go big. And you can write it off on your taxes.
Exactly. he decides to make Aslan his absolute mission. He is going to include her in as much community-based stuff. Because, again, she's not working. She's just kind of holed up with a bunch of books and is like, maybe I'll just... Because she has a year-long lease that she signed in one of these places, one of the homes there. So she's like, I can ride this out for a year. This can just be my year of silly mistakes or whatever. So one morning, she's eating breakfast, kind of staring dejectedly at her Kindle, and there's a knock on the door. And who is it but Thomas? And Thomas is like, hey, it's my job to make sure that all new people to the community are assigned to something. You know, we all have different roles that we like to play. Part of living here is that we like to devote at least 4 hours of our time a month to helping better the community. They have a big ass like community garden sort of spread. They have beehives that they get honey from. They also do beautification projects, and they do free classes of like, if you know how to crochet, you can teach other people to crochet and that sort of thing. And Aslan's like, I have no idea what I enjoy doing. So is there an option to try everything? And this thrills Thomas because he's like, oh my God. Yes, I am doing my job so well. I am getting her so involved in the community. But no shade to Aslan. But she is not super equipped when it comes to anything regarding nature. And a lot of what they're doing is regarding nature. I mean, there's literally taking nature hikes with the children who live there and the adults doing foraging activities, kayaking, etc., working out in the garden. And each thing she does kind of gets progressively worse. Physical comedy, knocking herself out while gardening, managing to not only flip herself off of a kayak, but also two children, because they were all linked together, like their kayaks were all tied together so they wouldn't float away from one another. And when hers flipped, it caused a chain reaction, and all three of these children also flipped off. They're fine. They had life vests. It's okay. But it quickly becomes apparent that she's really not suited for where she is in trying to decide what she's gonna do. As a last-ditch effort, Thomas is like, well, why don't you do a book club? You used to teach. You read all the time. What if you put forth, you know, you could do a children's book club and the adult book club, and you can head that up. And she's like, great. This means that I will not drown. I will not get stung by bees. I will not knock myself out while gardening. I will not accidentally almost eat something poisonous when pretending that I know how to forage. It's a really slow start because, unfortunately, no one seems to really want to join her book club.
Oh,
I know. It's kind of sad. But slowly but surely, the kids' book club picks up and the adult book club picks up. And so every Thursday, everyone gathers who wants to go to the book club at her place. And Thomas is always there and he's helping her out and generally just being great. And then she goes to bed one night. And it's now been like a year since her husband died. Mm-hmm. He was sick for like 2 years before that. So, and their marriage had kind of been dwindling anyway. And then he got sick and it was just this horrible ordeal. And she goes to bed and she has this dream. And it is it's a spicy dream.
Oh, caliente.
Yeah. And who's in it? Thomas.
Thomas.
So now she wakes up the next morning and she's like, what the fuck? One, this guy's like 9 years younger than her. He would never go for her, right? Like, that'd be crazy. They both have their own baggage. He's the president of the communal living co-op. Like, this would be a terrible idea, right? Except she just can't really stop thinking about it. And now her lens and her perception of him is really skewed from what it used to be. Mm-hmm. Because now she's like, oh, wait, he is really hot. And, oh, wow, it's really hot when he splits firewood. You know, because if there's one thing that I love, it's a lumberjack or a lumberjane or a lumber non-specific, a lumberjay, if you will. And she finds herself in increasing situations of like, oh, he'll come over because they just picked a whole bunch of apples in the little apple orchard that they have. And he was wondering if she wanted any apples for baking. And oh no, he dropped an apple and they both bend down to pick it up and their faces are really close together. And he starts coming over more frequently and even suggests that maybe they should have a book club of their own because some of the books that she wanted to do have been shot down by the general group as, you know, they're not interested. And he wants to, you know, he wouldn't mind reading those and talking about them. So she's completely confused. Her daughters come to visit her for Thanksgiving. Because the co-op is doing this massive Thanksgiving meal. Everyone's contributing. And while they're there, Thomas is still hanging around Aslan like he usually does. Both of her daughters separately, and I guess we should name them. What are her daughters' names? They're both start with an S.
They both start with an S?
Yeah, she did that thing where like she named her kids, you know, the same letter.
Okay, now I have to come up with two S names that we haven't used
previously. I know, good luck.
How old would her daughters be now, approximately?
Let's say 28 and 30.
Okay, Stephanie. Mm-hmm. And Sabrina.
Perfect. Okay, so Stephanie and Sabrina, you know, come down and each of them pull Aslan aside at one point and go like, so what's going on with you and Thomas? You know, just curious. And they're not upset. Like, if anything was going on, they would not mind. They know how much, you know, their mom went through with the death of their dad. They're very pro her kind of finding herself. And if that means finding someone, they're fine with that. Mm-hmm. And she's adamant. Nothing. Absolutely nothing is going on with Thomas. They're friends. They hang out together. They do book club and private book club. And that's it. And both of them are like, private yeah, okay. Private book club.
Mm-hmm. I'm just going to start asking people that. I'm like, it's time for a private book club. The book is the Kama Sutra. And when they're feeling silly, Mounting the Mothman.
Oh my god. By our favorite author, Anne L. Probe. Oh my god. Ooh. Anyway, so sorry that maybe that's what they're reading in their private book club.
Yeah.
But she's like, no, nothing's going on with Thomas. And they're like, okay, does he know that? Because, you know, he hasn't taken his eyes off you all night. You guys are so flirty. Like, you're over here smacking him on the chest. He's over here giving you, like, sidearm hugs. This is very familiar for people who are just book club buddies. And she kind of plays it off and is like, no, absolutely not. So the next day, Sabrina and Stephanie leave to go back home, and Thomas comes over and is like, hey, it was really, really nice meeting your daughters and everything like that. I just hope that you're not too bummed with them leaving. I know that that can be kind of hard. Do you maybe want to go out tonight, like drive into the city and hang out, and, you know, kind of, because obviously, like I said before, this is not a cult. They are allowed to leave at any time with no shame or anything like that. People leave all the time to go to the grocery store, etc. It's like, do you want to go out tonight with me? And she kind of stops and is like, shit, like go out, or I don't know. I don't, you know, I, she goes, I, she's thinking to herself, I haven't dated in decades. What the fuck am I supposed to do with this? So she's like, yeah, absolutely. And then she does something iconic, which requires a fashion montage. Because again, what is a rom-com without a fashion montage? She tells him, yeah, we'll meet back up here. We'll leave at 6, you know, to go drive out to whatever restaurant. She has no plans for that day. It's the morning. So she drives. She calls her friend and she's like, hey, I need you to meet me halfway at the mall because I don't have a single thing that I could wear that would be worthy of going out with this man. And she's like, going out? Aslan's like, don't fucking ask me that. I don't know. So... oh, the friend needs a name too, I guess. It can start with a B.
And this is Thomas's friend.
No, this is Aslan's friend.
Aslan's friend.
Yeah, the one that told her, like, oh, there's a place 50 miles from me.
Yeah, yeah. The B name that is screaming the loudest. I don't want that to be her name.
What's screaming?
Bertha. Which is the name of Rochester's wife in Jane Eyre, but I don't know why that's the name that's like.
What about like
Beth? Let's just go. Oh, there you Bet. Go. I like Bet. No, I like Bet. Yeah.
Okay.
Love Bette Midler.
Oh my gosh! What if Bet is played by Bette Midler? We'll get there. Okay. Mm. So. She calls Bette and she's like, I need your help right now. We have to go shopping. I have nothing to wear. And Bette is so excited because she's like, oh my God, this is the first date and this is amazing. And so they go to the store and have this amazing fashion montage where Aslan ends up picking this stunning jewel-toned dress and also sensible shoes because we've learned that there's no point in buying shoes you can't stand in. So she rushes back home with like 45 minutes to spare, gets ready, opens the door, and there is Thomas looking absolutely stunning. He's wearing like the button up with the cuffs rolled, you know, to show off the forearms. You know, I love a man with arms.
Yep.
He's like, whoa, she looks incredible. And he is super excited because this is definitely a date. He hasn't called it a date because he knows that she'll freak out, but this is definitely a date. So they go out to this super nice restaurant. What kind of cuisine do you want them to be eating?
Is this going to affect the story or you're just wondering what I'm hungry for?
Yeah, what are you hungry for?
I would really love some Indian food to be
completely honest. Ooh.
Yeah, okay. So they can go have Indian food.
All right, perfect. Okay, so they are at this really nice Indian restaurant and they are chatting and laughing and having a good time. And he's telling stories about spending, you know, like the last 15 years or whatever, living in the community, how he came to live there. Turns out that he was like an absolute tech genius and was taking Silicon Valley by storm. And then he's like, oh my God, this is heartless and soulless and I hate this. And so he just sort of took the money and ran. He's been living there ever since. They had talked about how he was divorced, but he never really went into the why of it all. So he just kind of explains, like, you know, it's not a whole lot of a story. Okay, so they are laughing, joking around, kind of getting deeper into their own personal lore with one another. She's having a few glasses of wine. He is not drinking because he is driving and being very responsible about it. And the night goes amazing. Like, truly freaking amazing. And they get back and super dark, no one's out because they stayed out late. And he opens up her door. She's still a little bit tipsy and helps her out of the car. And then right there, they're like face to face. And he just goes for it. And he kisses her right against the car. It's super hot. It's like the hottest thing that has happened to her in decades. It is incredible. She has never felt such passion. Until she remembers everything the fact that she has a dead husband, the fact that this guy is the president of the community where she lives, the fact that he's 9 years younger than her, the fact that she has kids, what will they think of this? The fact that she, this has sort of been like a vacation from life for her, and she sort of started rebuilding back what she really enjoys and cares about and is becoming a member of this community. And this just got really, really real for her. She pulls back and she's like, good night, I will see you later. And he's there thinking like, oh shit, maybe I shouldn't have done that. And so she's pacing around her house. She calls Bet and she's like, Bet, I am 56 years old. I have no license to be dating. I have no license to be dating this younger guy. I have no idea why I came here in the first place. This was all a terrible mistake. I just threw away any resemblance of a life that I knew for something just to what? Find myself? And she goes, and I feel even more lost than when I started, because at least I had familiarity and routine and comfort, and now I just have confusion. And Bet goes, but wasn't that the point? Wasn't the point of you doing all of this to kind of restart, because you weren't living for yourself? You were living for everyone around you. Not saying that there was, you know, that that was a bad thing or anything like that. She enjoyed her life before. She was a great mom, a great wife. Why can't she just have this for her? Why does anything else have to weigh in on it? And not liking that response, Aslan tells Bet that she's got to go. she's got some stewing to do. She does not want reason. So Chelsea, where do you see this moving for Thomas or Aslan, both of them, or Bet? Maybe you just want to, you know, you want to take Bet's perspective.
I think that Bet, no. I think that Aslan is going to come to the realization that, like, it's outside of her comfort zone. It's a lot, but it doesn't have, she doesn't need to run away. Mm-hmm. I think she will come to the realization that she did maybe not envision, like, this particular scenario, but she was searching for something. Mm-hmm. And I think that she'll realize that she can be happy. And I, maybe that means that she's going to want to, like, you know, she's apprehensive. Maybe she wants to go slow, you know, but I think, I don't know. I think she's going to be like, you know what? Life is short and I should just go after the things that I want, even if they scare me. Yeah. And then as far as Thomas is concerned, I think he's going to be respectful of whatever it is that Aslan decides, but I also think that he is going to let his feelings be known.
Mm-hmm. So you're pretty on the money in a lot of ways, because instead of letting this simmer, letting a lot of time pass by or anything like that, after Bet and Aslan hang up on the phone, their conversation only lasted like 20 minutes. So like 10 minutes after that, 30 minutes after the debacle, Aslan hears knocking on her door and she opens it up and it's Thomas. And he says, look, I understand all of the reasons that are going through your head as to why this shouldn't work. But have you ever considered that maybe it just can? That maybe this doesn't have to be any more than you want it to be. It doesn't have to impact anything. And she cuts him off and she's like, look, how can it not impact anything? You know, I am not a singular person. This is literally community living. This is for community mindedness. How, you know, what if something goes sour between us and it affects my relationships or your relationships with other people here? And he's like, why does it have to right now, when we're figuring everything out? Why can't it just be? Why can't you just choose this? He goes, I know that you want this. You kissed me back. You know, I feel like We've been growing closer and closer all the time. You're one of my best friends. This is great. Like, why are you unwilling to take this step? Is it me? And she's like, of course it's not you, you big idiot. And he goes, so why? Just give me one reason outside, like within yourself, not outside of yourself with, you know, other people, perception, etc. Give me one good reason within yourself why we shouldn't do this, and I will leave. And we will never talk about this again if you don't want to. And her response is that she gets to the third part of Eat, Pray, Love. And there is a really good spicy scene where, you know, she breaks a couple of years long dry spell and decides to have something for herself.
And I love that for her.
Yeah. And it's going to be like this really beautiful, touching, sensual moment. And there's not going to be any comedy around this part. Okay. The comedy is done. We've already flipped kids off of kayaks. I don't know what else you want. Ooh, you know what? We really should incorporate your Kama Sutra joke within the dialogue when, like, maybe, like, one of the cute, like, I don't know, 20-somethings that kind of reminds her most of her one of her daughters that she hangs out with all the time to kind of, you know, feel that same sort of kinship that she's missing. Maybe she can make that joke of like, oh, you and Thomas gonna have your own personal book club, maybe try the Kama Sutra, we can have that. I feel like we need that line to really enhance the comedy. Anyway,
I like it.
They go and she makes the decision for herself that she's just going to have what she wants. And I'll get your thoughts on this. I personally don't want the morning after where it goes back to sort of like turmoil. I don't feel like it's necessary.
I want a cute montage.
Yeah.
Of like them waking up and having like breakfast in bed and
pancakes.
Then like, yeah. And then like going out and like going on a kayak ride together or doing some kind of activity, helping the community together. And then like, you know, pulling each other around corners to like steal kisses while they're doing that. And then like maybe going out with some of the younger people, like they just get roped into it and they're like partying. But then it's like, yeah, we're both older, so maybe we don't want to stay out all night. So then they like kind of tumble back and then tumble into bed again. Mm-hmm. That's what I want. That's what I envision.
I agree, honestly. To be honest, I didn't really know quite where I wanted to take it after that scene beyond them growing closer. But I think at this point, I just want to win for Aslan. And I think that the conflict that we've already had is sufficient. And if we really just want to kind of add on a little extra layer, we can have Thomas, like, you know, a year or 2 years later, whatever, ask Aslan if she'll move in with him and if they'll get married. Because, of course, all stories have to end in marriage for taxes.
Because if you can't write off the outfits for the cult, you know, you need the tax breaks for on marriage. It's all about taxes.
It's always about taxes.
Everything's about taxes. That's the episode title.
It's all about taxes.
It's all about taxes. Everything is about taxes.
I'm literally making a note right here. I'm just going to put in all caps. It's all about taxes. That way I don't forget. Thomas eventually is like, hey, what do you think about moving in with me and getting married? And the only reason...
Wait, I have a better title.
Okay.
Is the Kama Sutra a tax write-off? That'll get people clicking. What?
It will.
Anyway, oh my God. I'm sorry. You can go back to your storytelling.
I almost want that tattooed on my lower back.
I support it.
Thank you.
Then does that make that tattoo a tax write-off?
God, it just keeps going. Well, someone who's a CPA, write in and let us know. You can hit us up in our DMs, Love It First Screening on Instagram. You can also email us at loveitfirstscreening@gmail.com. and let us know if our lower back tattoos are a tax write-off.
Yeah.
But I think the only moment of hesitation that we're really going to have is when Thomas asks Aslan if they can get married. At this point, she's almost 60 years old, and she's like, I never would have pictured myself getting married at 60. Her only real hesitation is she's not quite sure how her daughters would feel about it, except when she brings this up and it's like, I don't know about that. He goes, oh yeah, about that. And then like right on cue in movie perfection, there's a knock. It's her daughters. And they come in with flowers to congratulate her on her engagement, pending her saying yes.
Yeah.
And then they get married.
Did Thomas ask them if he could?
Of course.
I think that is cute. I think that's cute. It is not cute for anyone to ask a woman's father. That is gross. But I think it's cute when people ask, like, the kids or, like, the sister or something. Like, I don't know.
Oh, yeah. No, if I ever get married for the tax write-offs, if they don't ask Serena first, it's just a no. Sorry. Can't do it.
I mean, if I were to ever get married, I don't want anyone to ask anyone other than me.
That's
fair. You
should
probably ask me.
Oh, that is really important. I guess you're right. I guess that would be the person who needs to answer.
Yeah. But hopefully
at that point it's a formality.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We better have talked about this like a lot before. I don't know. Yeah.
I've already got your wedding planned out.
Yeah, apparently I keep hearing about this wedding. I don't know who I'm marrying, but Madison is just ready to.
Cloaks, swords, lavender, viridian. I won't lie to you. I haven't really decided on cake yet. Mostly because I have too many options I want.
Well, I don't really like cake.
Well, I was thinking about a cookie cake.
I want individual pies.
Hot girl shit. All right. Okay. We'll add that into the list. All right. Individual pies. It'll be great. Suspenders. Anyway. I could go on, but because we have the old people flash mob and we have to steal people from a senior citizen's home for it. That'll be in your wedding. All right. Anyway, back to our story. So yeah, it ends with this really touching kind of family moment where Aslan just lets herself get what she wants. And that's it.
Great. Very sweet.
Yeah, it wasn't my best story. But I guess my biggest takeaway, hopefully, is that women who are past their prime, like they have a goddamn expiration date, like they're a container of sour cream or something. I don't know. I think that we could have better representation in romantic comedies for older women, especially older men. You know, there's not really much of an issue there so much. But I think off the top of my head, there's only one I can really think of with Diane Keaton. And we've talked about it before. I didn't really like how a lot of it was presented. She deserved better.
She did.
This is really just Diane Keaton's redemption.
Yeah. Well, Madison, are we ready to pick up the cast?
Yes. I had to check the gas and make sure that we're, you know, really ready for a pit stop. Because as you may know, I can't park. So we have to run out right as we're sliding in next to that gas pump.
Okay. I have two options for both of our leads.
Ooh.
Because I can't decide.
Okay.
All right. So for Aslan, I'm thinking Laura Dern.
Ooh.
Or Rachel Weisz.
Jesus. Why would you put me in this situation?
I don't know. Do you want me to tell you what the two for the man are, and maybe that'll help you. Okay. Yeah. For Thomas, I have Luke Evans or Cheyenne Jackson.
Oh, I'm sorry. That man, I wasn't ready for it.
Who?
I mean, honestly, both of them. So, Chelsea, you've put me in quite a conundrum because you've picked too attractive of a cast. I guess, okay, if I had to choose who I would rather see splitting wood, and that's not a euphemism, I'd probably pick Cheyenne Jackson.
Okay.
Yeah, he's got the arms.
So if Cheyenne Jackson is our Thomas, then who would you like to be Aslan? Should we put Cheyenne Jackson with Laura Dern or with Rachel Weisz?
I kind of want to go with Laura Dern. Yeah, I want to go with Laura Dern.
Okay,
she's
great.
So darn hot.
I'll allow it because it's true. Okay, for Bette,
mm-hmm.
Jodie Foster.
Chelsea, this is the best cast we have ever put together. That this is such an attractive movie. I think you took like a sort of B-level plot and gave it A-plus actors and was like, you know what?
Is that not what a rom-com is?
Yes, you are correct.
It's okay. Just hot people and a mediocre script.
Okay.
I did cast her daughters.
Okay.
And I actually think it's perfect with Laura. I think both of these actresses would be good with either of the people I picked for Aslan. But since you've picked Laura Dern, I think it's even better. Okay. So for Stephanie, Natalia Dyer.
Oh.
And then Sabrina, Allison Stoner.
I'm so mad at you right now. Let me explain to listeners why I'm mad if they do not understand. I'm mad that this doesn't exist because this cast is just so good. This budget's going to have to be huge. Or it was going to need to be kind of big anyway because the set needs to be like a lot of green space that's kind of cultivated. What a time to be alive.
Did I forget anybody?
I mean, if we want to do flashbacks to her dead or dying husband, we can cast someone, but I don't really think they're necessary.
Oh my god, wait, no, Madison. Who's her husband? It's Stanley Tucci.
Perfect. Dead Stanley Tucci as dead husband. We didn't name him, and I think that's funnier.
I think it's funnier if Stanley Tucci doesn't have a name. Because, yeah. Like, our recent things... In the first episode, it was Barbara's assistant.
Yeah.
In episode 2, he was the rival farmer. In episode 3, it was just featuring Stanley Tucci in drag.
Yeah.
And then in episode 4, it was like, he's just Melvin the cat.
I know.
He wasn't even in the Instagram post.
He wasn't? Oh, that's right, because he's voiced by Stanley Tucci, but he's played by that specific cat. That's why.
Yeah.
I should go back and edit that and be like, Melvin voiced by Stanley Tucci.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just tag Stanley Tucci in the picture of Melvin.
I think we should just tag Stanley Tucci in literally all the things.
And he'll eventually be like, what the fuck is this?
Honestly, it's probably not the weirdest thing he's ever been tagged in. I assume celebrities get tagged in a lot of stuff, and I also assume that most of it is very odd.
I imagine that most of it is poorly drawn erotica.
Probably.
Which is kind of rude, honestly.
You should draw erotica well.
Yeah, exactly. You should do it well. Don't half-ass it. Put your whole ass into that ass, you know?
Yeah, whole ass. Nobody wants half an ass.
Honestly, mine's so flat, I may as well be.
I'll make sure the love of your life is a boob man.
Thank God.
Or a boob woman.
That's, you know what, either way. I got that. Well, right on. Yeah, no, in my sewing adventures recently, for anyone who doesn't know, I've taken up sewing. I'm not really good at it, but I enjoy it, and that's the reason why I started doing it. I have figured out that when I make skirts, I can just gather the fuck out of the fabric. And that way it just kind of has its own natural sort of flare out to it. And it hides the fact that I don't really have much of an ass.
And that's what they call witchcraft.
Exactly.
If the men find out we can shapeshift, they're going to tell the church.
Exactly. They must never know. Although I will say it's super cute. Sometimes when I'm sewing, my dad is there. He'll walk over and he'll be like, "What you doing?" I'll be like, "You know, just sewing." I'll be like, "That's really cool." And it's always a little confidence boost. I kind of love it. The other day I was showing him this patch that I sewed onto my patch jacket using my machine. And I was like, "Yeah, look at like how it has like an automatic zigzag stitch setting and it's really cool. So this is really secure, but it also is a really cool looking stitch." And he was like, "Wow." And the machine just does that. That's crazy. And I was like, "I know." I guess to tie loose threads together though, Chelsea, we have to decide if I told you a rom-com.
Yeah. To go through our set of criteria that we use to determine such a thing, did they date?
I think that that is probably the most solid, like, check yes moment, because all they do is date. All they do is date.
Okay. I agree.
Well, I would say that at the beginning it was really more focused on friendship, obviously, but once they started having those Kama Sutra book clubs with the two of them, that's definitely dating.
It's like, are you flirting with me? Yes. I invited you to my Kama Sutra book club. Of course I'm flirting.
Honestly, that's just me being like, are you flirting with me or do you just have your tongue down my throat? Like, I just need some clarification in the meantime. Yeah. Are you flirting with me or have we just spent the entire night hanging out making inside jokes?
The world may never know.
I won't.
Did we laugh, Madison?
Man, I laughed when those kids fell off those fucking kayaks.
That's the just peak. That'll be in the trailer.
Yes.
Get the child skeptics into the theater, you know what I mean?
Exactly. Oh, should we have, like, I feel like we need one good, like, recognizable child actor, but I also have weird feelings about child actors, so I don't know who we would want to cast for it. We'll leave that open. What child actors do you want to see fall into a lake? Let us know.
You have to have that be an open question on Instagram because yeah, I want to know. And it has to be phrased exactly that way. What child actor do you want to see fall into a lake?
Amazing.
I want to know, Madison.
I'll choose my own lineup. I'll let you know. We'll figure it out then. But yeah, I think there's going to be good like physical comedy when she's kind of trying to learn how to do stuff. I feel like there's going to be a good comedic element with the fashion montage and just any conversation that she has with Bette. It's going to be amazing.
Great. And now. Yeah, I think. I think it's going to be good fun. I think people are definitely laughing. And then is love in the driver's seat?
I think that it kind of propels the second half of the plot more than the first half. And I mean, ultimately the biggest takeaway is personal, you know, discovery, self-discovery, and also the idea of just letting yourself have what you want. Mm-hmm. You know, that kind of idea of unlearning selfishness as a negative thing.
Yeah. I think it's too literal to say that it isn't propelling the first half. I do agree with what you're saying, but I think, like, ultimately where the story goes and like the maybe not the biggest takeaways, but like the most obvious or the strongest through line would be about the romantic plot.
Mm-hmm.
Because ultimately, like, it's the thing that scares her but then it's the thing that she has to like realize is what she's there for.
Yeah. That is put so beautifully. That I really love that. It's the thing that scares her, but it's the thing that she ultimately needs and wants the most.
I think sometimes the things that would probably make us really happy are also the things that like scare us a lot.
Yeah, I completely understand that. I don't know. I'm terrified of the idea of petting a bear, but I also feel like it would really fulfill
no,
me.
No, 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 no. No.
So that wasn't the takeaway?
No, the takeaway was not to pet bears.
Fuck.
Bears are terrifying, Madison.
Yeah, they can run 40 miles an hour, which means that any bear within like 40 miles of you can be there in an hour.
That's terrifying. Stop it. I'm terrified of bears. But not because I think they would make me happy. I'm terrified for my own survival and well-being. I will not touch the bear.
Fine. Fine. This is a PSA. Don't pet bears. We're not condoning that behavior. And when we say that you should do things that scare you, maybe it shouldn't include things that could get you mauled.
Don't do it.
Yeah. Just say no. Nancy Reagan.
A monster.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, my favorite thing to say about Nancy Reagan is that I allegedly have one of her old psychics tarot decks.
Yes, you do say that quite often.
It's the coolest fact about
the
me.
Nancy Reagan deck?
Yeah, do you want the Nancy Reagan deck or do you want the other one? Well, Chelsea, I think this passes as a rom-com pretty handily. I feel like this is a very cookie-cutter style rom-com, aside from the fact that it engages with a different type of love interest in terms of age, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also an age gap romance that doesn't feel icky.
Love that.
Yeah, so we don't often see that in the romantic comedy world, or just like the romance world in general. It's kind of hard to discuss because we think that people after the age of like, what, 30 need to be settled down, married with whoever they're going to be with, or just end up a spinster or something. We never really contemplate what it's like for people who may have to start anew. But yeah, I think ultimately this is a really cookie cutter sort of rom-com, just dealing with people who don't get a lot of recognition as being able to enter into new relationships. Yeah, I mean, I think that's everything. Other than would you watch it, on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being you've already got plans to watch something you've already seen 100 times. 2 is that you'll pirate it. 3 is that you'll pony up the money for streaming. 4 is that you're going to go see it in theaters. You just don't know when. And 5 is that you are busting down that door. You've got a Laura Dern costume on, which I assume is just her outfit from any of the Jurassic movies.
For sure.
Yeah.
I think 3.
Honestly, it's giving straight to streaming movie vibes anyway. Yeah. So
yeah,
I would agree. I think this is just going to be a straight to streaming kind of movie. And we'll watch it most definitely because it's got our Lord and Savior Laura Dern in it, which is different from our Lord and Savior Dolly Parton, but still similar, superior energy.
Well, Madison, what are we doing next time?
Next time, you are telling me a story. Okay, I know that you already did a supernatural story for me, but I really, really enjoyed it. So Can you incorporate literally any kind of supernatural element you want? It can have magic, it can have vampires, werewolves, mermaids, sirens, Mothman, El Chupacabra, anything you want.
Okay, great. Paranormal romance, that's what you'd like.
Yeah, I want a paranormal romance that's also funny.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
You have six.
Well,
days.
In the meantime, it sounded so threatening.
It was.
You have 6 days.
In 6 days.
Your deadline. In the meantime, Laughsters, our listeners, can look out for our poll and our question about which celebrity kid you want to chuck into a lake. And you can do that by going to our Instagram at Love at First Screening, where you can also send us DMs to let us know who you want to cast in one of our rom-coms. And I don't know, just say hi. Of course, if you're a little bit more formal, you can send an email to us at loveatfirstscreening@gmail.com.
Send us your rom-com stories so we don't have to do homework.
Yeah. But thank you, Madison, for this story.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure.
So until next time, it's all
about
taxes.
It's always about taxes.
Everything's about taxes.